Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month, and with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
His fiancée, and when her pregnancy began to show, Joseph, don't you be afraid, Mary, Mary, for the little baby in her womb, it is the Holy Spirit's work. You may have read the prophet said the virgin would give birth. So it came to pass that Joseph was the noblest of men, with a woman on a donkey on their way to Bethlehem. And I wonder whether either was aware enough that day to know the child would bring a kingdom and the old would come to pass away. Yes, it came to pass that Joseph was the noblest of men, with a woman on a donkey on their way to Bethlehem.
As we sing this next hymn, the young children will be invited to come to this side, ascend the stairs, for a message to follow afterwards, so they can come during the song. Please turn to 232, Away in a Manger, and let's stand as we sing.
Okay. You know, that verse like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Christmas is whose birthday? Jesus' birthday. And you know, Jesus, when he was born, had something very unusual happen to him. When he was born, there was no house for him to go into, and there were certainly no hospitals. And do you know where he ended up? He ended up a place where they kept animals. And in this place where they kept the animals, there was something called a manger. Now, a manger was like a wooden box about this long and this wide. And it was usually filled with food for the animals. And the animals would go and eat out of that manger. But, you know, as we sing, remember the little Lord Jesus was put in a manger. So they took the food out of it and they filled it with straw. And that became the bed of Jesus when he was a little baby. Very unusual. I bet he was the only one in the whole world that night that had a manger for his bed. So it was a big event when Jesus was born. And not far from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, there was a big field. Have you ever been out in a field at night where there's not many lights around? And it's real dark, but when you look up in the sky, you can see all these stars and the moon, and it's just beautiful. Well, these shepherds, shepherd is somebody that takes care of sheep and goats. And they had brought in all their sheep and goats, and they'd put them to bed for the night. And the shepherds were sitting around talking to one another, talking about the day, and they were having a good time. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared. They had never seen an angel. And behind that angel was a bright light. Can you imagine being out in the field all dark, and all of a sudden an angel appears and bright lights everywhere? You think you would have been a little bit afraid? Well, these shepherds were afraid. And the first thing the angel said was, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." So it must have been nice to hear that the angel was their friend and the angel had some good news to tell them. And so the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And the shepherds thought, wow, that's fulfilling some of the Old Testament scriptures. And they thought about it. And then the angel told them that if you go to where Jesus was, you would find him laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you could see him. And they thought, we have got to go see Jesus. We have got to go see Jesus. And it was just like what they told him. They went, and they went to a place where there were animals, and they went into that place where the animals were, and there was Jesus, not in a crib, but in a manger. And there he was sleeping, and there was Mary and Joseph. So that was a wonderful thing. And that the shepherds might know who Jesus was, the sign was he's laying in a manger. Jesus grew up, and he was in his 30s, and he was preaching, and he was telling people, "Believe on me, and you can have everlasting life. I have come, and I will forgive you all your sins, and you can live in heaven." And some people believed him, some people didn't. Some people received the gift of eternal life, others didn't. Have you ever turned down a gift? I can remember as a little guy, Christmas morning, boom, downstairs, around the tree, and there were gifts. And the rule in our house was, wait until Mom and Dad come down and we'll open them. Oh, it seemed like, come on, Mom, come on, Dad, come on down, you know, I want to open my gifts. And so Jesus said this, and he said it about you young people. He says, unless you become like little children, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting watching you little guys, because you have a great love for Mom and Dad, don't you? I mean, I've seen your eyes light up when you go to see Mom and Dad. And if you ever got lost from Mom and Dad and you didn't know where they were, and then all of a sudden you see, you run and grab hold of them. How you love your mom and dad, because they do good things for you and you can trust them. And so Jesus used that as an illustration. When we hear the message that we can have eternal life, our sins can be forgiven, we can go to heaven by trusting in Jesus, we should do that. Just as we love our mom and dad and trust them, we take it up a notch. And we love Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises that if we would come to him, he would forgive us and give us eternal life. And that's what Christmas is all about. So enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your gifts. But remember, the gift, the very first one about Christmas was what? God the Father gave us his Son that we might have eternal life through him. So we wish you all a most blessed Christmas. Thank you. And enjoy your day tomorrow. Please go back to Mom and Dad. Thank you.
Turn back to your hymnals at number 234. 234, and we'll sing All Is Well. Please stand as we sing this one.
Who looks so small, so face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
Let's join together again and sing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, number 246. I'll let you sit for this one. Okay.
Luke 2:15-20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Thank you. songs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come,
Matthew 2:1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means less among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel.'" Then Herod summoned to the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me the word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that had seen them, that they had seen when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by their own way.
by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing heart by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness no stranger. Behold your King before him lowly bent. Behold your King, your King before him bent. To love one another, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, the grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Sing praise to him forever. His
blessing so far, amen, to be here and hear the singing and the reading of Scripture. As we gather this evening to celebrate the coming of the Son of God in human flesh, I'd like to spend our time that we have in the Word focusing not merely on the fact that He has come, but focusing on why He came. In the first place, to know that Jesus came is a wonderful thing. We want everyone to know that. We also realize that many still do not know that. However, it isn't that he came. It's not that he has come that makes a difference in our lives. You can know that Jesus has come and it make absolutely no difference in your life. Knowing that God has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus makes no eternal difference whatsoever. But knowing why He came can make a tremendous difference. And so it's for that reason that I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you didn't bring your Bible, there are Bibles in the pew rack in front of you. And I would invite you to do that. It's very important. I would suggest to you that you do that because I want you to be able to see this as we celebrate this holiday that we call Christmas. And as we try to answer the question, why did Jesus come? We know that He did, but why did He come? Now, we might have various answers to that, but we find a definitive answer for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And so I want us to spend our time focusing on the definitive answer. Why did the Son of God come in human flesh? Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, with particular emphasis on verse 15. The word of the Lord says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." So before we answer the question, let's realize that Paul has just said, this is true for everybody. This is not just true for me. It's not just true for you. It's not just true for you or I, but it's true for everybody. And then he answers the question, why? That Jesus Christ, or that Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief, Paul says. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul's answer to the question, why? Why Christmas? The answer to that is that Jesus came to save sinners. We could say much more, and surely there's more to it. But ultimately, friends, everything that the Lord Jesus came to do among us had to do with this all-encompassing task. To save sinners. What type of sinners? That's what I'd like to spend the rest of our time together focusing on this evening. What type of sinner did Jesus can't come for? Because we know why He came. He came to save sinners. I want to share with you that Jesus came for sinners of every sort. It's important that we understand that Jesus came for every type of sinner under the sun. It seems that even His choice of disciples illustrates this fact. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But if you read the Gospels, you see that everyone that Jesus had an interaction with was a special type of sinner. Think of the arrogant sinner, Peter. The rash sinner, James and John. He came for those in sexual sin, such as the woman at the well. He came for possessed sinners and the demoniac. He came for the sellout sinners and the tax collectors. Every sort of sinner found redemption in Jesus Christ. Just as the Word says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so Jesus comes for sinners of every sort. He comes for sinners just like you. Whatever your particular type of sin is, whatever shape of your spiritual deformity, I want you to know that Jesus came to save you. Amen. That's why He came. All men have sinned and fallen short of His glory, the Word says. And so the shape of our soul's deformity is of no particular significance. Each one of us have taken our own road to rebellion. Yet the good news is that He came to save every type. He came to save the type of sinner on the front pew and the type of sinner on the back pew and every pew in between. He came to save every type of sinner. He came to save proud sinners. He came to save the drunk and addicted sinner.
Came to save the selfish sinner. Came to save the angry sinner. Came to save the thief, the liar, the adulterer, the murderer, and the blasphemer. In fact, if there are any people that Jesus did not come to save, it is the one who says he is not a sinner. Jesus Christ came to save every sort of sinner. He also came for sinners without qualification. Jesus came for sinners who can't meet any qualifications. And we get a hint of this in our hymns. We sing the hymn, "Come Ye Sinner, Poor and Needy." It says, "Weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power." But notice in the verse that we read that there is no qualifying adjective. In other words, there's no qualifying adjective before the noun sinner. Our text doesn't say that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save awakened sinners. It doesn't say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save rehabilitated sinners. It doesn't say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save qualifying sinners. It says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Plain and simple. It doesn't require any preliminary qualifying. There's no dead heat in the sin race that you have to win in order to qualify. Instead, Jesus says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in what, church? In what? In what? Weakness. In weakness. In what you can't do." Sinners is all that Paul has to say. No other standards to meet for better or worse. What if they have no trace of goodness? Sinners. What if they have no mark of anything worthy? Sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners without qualification. So what that means is Jesus came for sinners as sinners. He came for sinners as sinners. What I mean to point out for you is that he came to save sinners still in their sin. And here's maybe the most difficult thing for mankind to accept about Jesus' work. That Jesus came to save sinners in their sin. And one of the most beautiful pictures of this is actually in the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 1, where Jesus meets a man who is a paralytic. You know what a paralytic is? Paralytic in Jesus' day, all he did, all that he was known as, was a paralytic. He was outcast. He was defined by his disease. He was defined by his inability. Just like a sinner is defined by their inability. But here this man is an outcast because of his paralysis, his problem. And Jesus comes and here is a man who is a leper in the Gospel of Mark. And his condition makes him untouchable. His disease was incurable. Yet he hears that Jesus is close by and he came to him. And you know how the leper came to Jesus? The leper came to Jesus as a leper. That's how he came to Jesus. There was no hiding his condition. You can't reattach limbs that have been gone for ages. You can't undo physical deformity. All that you can do is acknowledge that you have it. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament law said that he had to live away from the people of the Lord, but the rabbis had added to the law. And here's what they had added to the law, and it was cruel. The rabbis said that if you are paralytic and you are anywhere near anywhere near clean people, then as you walk, you must shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" You have to announce. You have to announce your unfit state. And so here's a man who comes to Jesus announcing unclean, unclean. And you can see it in your mind's eyes, a crowd parting away from this man. They don't want anything to do with him. He is a leper. And he comes to Jesus as a leper. Not as a godly leper, we don't know. It's not in the text. Not as a worthy leper, we don't know. But as a broken leper, who on top of this is a sinner. And he asked Jesus in Luke chapter 1, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me..." In Mark chapter 1, he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And what does Jesus do to the unclean, untouchable leper? Does he stand and does he pronounce blessings over this man who has come to him as a leper? Jesus reaches out his hands and Jesus touches the untouchable. And this is what he says to him. He says, "I am willing. Be cleansed." That's what happened when the leper came as a leper. And that's what Jesus does when the sinner comes as a sinner. It helps us to see that we must come to Jesus as we are, sinners as sinners, and that He meets us at the very depth of our need. Jesus came for sinners as sinners, but He came for weak sinners, because that's the only type of sinner that there is. The testimony of the Bible is that sin is a curse, and that sinners are indeed under that curse. It also tells us that sin brings death. Wherever sin reigns, the power to do good dies out. The Word asks the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It says you can't do that. Because not only are you a sinner, but you are a weak sinner. Sin has made you unable. But listen to this, church. Know this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To S-A-V-E, sinners. Not to help sinners. Not to encourage sinners. Not to reform sinners. But to save sinners. Not to make us savable, but to save us Himself. Why? Because weak sinners need saving. If you have sinned, hear again the Word of God. Jesus came to save you. That is why He has come. So what is it we celebrate? What is it that we celebrate when we sing? What is it that we celebrate when we come together? What is it that we celebrate when we wake up tomorrow and meet with our families? It must be that Jesus Christ came to save sinners like you and I. What type of sinner does Jesus come for? Jesus comes for honest sinners. Can you say it? Can you say, "I need saving, Jesus"? Because that is the truth for us all, for that is why He came. Romans 5, 6 through 8, Paul says the same thing again. He says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows His love for us." Listen. "God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I would ask you this evening, as we focus on why Jesus came, I would ask you, are you willing to be honest with God? Are you willing to confess that you are a sinner? Are you willing to confess your need of His redeeming grace? For the word says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because that's why He came. That's why He came. To save sinners who admit that they need saving. Luke tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared and declared to the shepherds. This is the word. Listen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a, listen, Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why did He come? To save sinners. Who is He? He's a Savior. And that, friends, is why He came. Let us pray. Oh God, I pray that if there are those gathered here with us that have not yet confessed their helpless condition before the Lord, that they would do that even now. Father, it is no easy thing to admit that we are sinners, that we are helpless. In fact, everything in us pushes against that. We don't want to admit that we're helpless. We don't want to admit that we are weak. We don't want to admit that we are needy. Father, I can imagine that the leper in Mark 1 had a lot of swallowing of pride to do before he went to ask for healing from the Lord Jesus. There's a point at which he got tired of being a leper. He got tired of bearing the curse of his disease. And, oh Lord, sinners get tired of bearing the curse of their disease. And so it is good news that we read in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But that means we qualify. So Lord, I pray that if there are those here who need Jesus, that they would come and that they would admit, Father, their great need, that they would repent of their sin, and they would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And Father, I pray that you would use this word to remind us as a church that we need Jesus every bit as much this very hour as we have all of our lives, even before we came to know your redeeming grace. God, we need Jesus and his grace as much now as we ever did. And so, Lord, help us to get off of the treadmill of performance and trust in your grace once again. For we too are sinners in need of a great Savior. And so we praise you and we thank you for your work in us. And we pray that you would work in the hearts of those who do not know you even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm sorry, I lost my voice. Our last song is in the bulletin. That way you don't have to try to balance the hymnal. We're going to sing all three verses. The third verse will be a cappella. We won't start singing, though, until everybody has their candle lighted. So why don't you get your candles ready in the stand, and we'll try to get everybody lit up. Ready?
Beloved, let us bless the Lord together. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Have a good trip.